Lord, I'd like to ask that your Holy Spirit would touch every person standing before you tonight. We pray that, Holy Spirit, you take free reign in this room and you would open up heaven and let us peek in. And I pray you would just excite us in the Spirit towards the future that we all hold. And so as we open up our hearts, we pray that you'll open up the doors of heaven, pour out the Holy Spirit without any measure upon all of us, that we'd have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and understanding for knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can be seated. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 20. It's a short chapter. We're going to look at most of the verses, but really zero in on specific ones. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So underline dragon, serpent of old, devil, Satan. Bound him up, and underline 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was given to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast of his image or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, the devil, and who deceived them, and was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, underline that, the false prophet, are there, and underline that. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yahoo for that. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And would you underline this? Books were opened. And then another book, so books plural and then a book singular, underline that, was opened. Which is, and it defines this book, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which are written in the books. So books are kept of everything that everybody does. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, every one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're going to begin here, first of all, talking about the angels that come down out of heaven. I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So that one statement tells us some important things. Number one, we have an angel, which means there is intelligent life in outer space, intelligent life that is living with directions, instructions, and purpose in life. This one had to be some sort of a enforcement officer. He's coming to arrest the devil. Secondly, we realize that this angel from heaven, it tells us that there is a real destination for you and me, that we are going somewhere where there's a whole life going on right now, people getting up and moving around and doing jobs and all sorts of things. It's a destination. It's a real place. It's not a mythical or a mystical place at all. It's not a dream or a fictitious religious hangout. There's a real place with superior beings and creatures, including converted human beings that have new bodies and refreshed souls inside those new bodies. And then there's a third thing I want to point out in this verse to you, if you'll take note of it. Simple words. It really opens up your mind. The angel brings a key, number one, and then he brings, number two, a great chain. And these two words, key and great chain, tells us these things are materials and that there must be materials in heaven. Now, we don't know if there's manufacturing in heaven, but we know that there's a key. So that means there must be people designing at least chains and keys in heaven and people assembling them somehow. And someone made these items. So if you've ever had the idea that you're just going to lay around on white puffy clouds and play six-string lutes or, you know, banjos or something, you're not going to do it. You're going to be cruising. You're going to be anywhere you want to be. Last week we saw where an angel stood in the heaven and shouted. Imagine a body that you will have, because we will be like the angels in heaven with neither marrying nor giving in marriage, a body that has the ability to stand in 8 billion degree Fahrenheit temperatures and not get singed and be air conditioned while you're standing there. I mean, you're going to be a pretty cool character when you get to heaven. Think of it for a minute. So here we realize there's going to be some purpose. There's a destination. It's a real place. There's intelligent life. Somebody's designing things. People are busy. They're active. They have responsibilities and jobs. But the second major point I wanted to point out was, what is this key? It is the key to the bottomless pit. You want to underline that, because the bottomless pit is very important for you to know. You could end up there if you deny God. You could end up there if you deny salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You could end up in this bottomless pit. Now, what does that say to you if it's bottomless? It gives you the picture that anybody that is a prisoner, and there are many, many millions, if not billions of people whose souls are there right now, that have left their bodies, and they are in, as the Old Testament says, hell enlarges itself, and it is there are cells for the souls of some sort. But if it's bottomless, it means you're not going to sit down on a bench or a bed. You're not going to sit on a stool or a chair. It is bottomless. There is no bottom. So you're going to just be floating with all the agony of your filthy sin while you're there in this bottomless pit. Now, we want to look at this for a minute, because when you go to chapter 9 of Revelation, we talked about this already. But you need to tie it together now with chapter 20 and realize it wasn't just something being said to scare people. Chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, which is another word for angel, to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So he's thinking and seeing forward to an angel in chapter 20 that has a key. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. I was seeing on television a couple of weeks ago, maybe you saw this too. There is a, it's either in the South Pacific, but I think for some reason more over towards the Asian area. There is the formation of a mountain taking place right now under the sea, and of course it's volcanic, and there's no island to it yet. It is so powerful as it's building itself under the thousands of feet of water that these huge volumes of smoke are coming up out through the water as if it was already on top of a mountain spewing lava. And you see that right now in your lifetime, you can begin to imagine what it's going to be like when this angel takes the key and opens up this door or the gates to the bottomless pit. And smoke comes out like a blast furnace from the center of the earth and works its way out. Now, this word for bottomless pit, we've talked about before, I'd like to talk to you again. In the Greek language, it's abusos. And the word for the abyss comes from this word. It literally means bottomless, unbounded. There's no boundaries in this. It's the word that was used for the abyss. You've got to realize there is a physical shaft that goes down into the center of the earth that people that are dying in San Diego and any city or place on the planet today that are godless people, the demons are taking their souls as they breathe their last breath and taking them to that spot. I don't know if it's up in the Alps or the Hindi area of India or where it is. Nobody knows where it is. Could be in the center of the earth. We've had all these sightings from the weird magazines of UFOs coming from out of the ocean and spacecrafts going into the ocean. And we're told that there are villages and cities that governments have built under the water. And we have already seen in Revelation that the people living under the sea will be judged. We don't really know what the military is doing top secret under there. But there is a place that Jonah talked about. You remember Jonah and the whale? Not the VeggieTale Jonah and the whale, because tomatoes really don't talk. I don't know if you know that or not. And cucumbers can't clap. They don't have arms. But VeggieTales is a little different, but they have a cool Jonah for teaching kids. Jonah says that the whale, the great fish, took him to the bottom, to the bars of the earth. So there were some sort of bars that were there. We are told that Jesus stands with the keys to the death, to death and hell are held in his right hand, Revelation chapter 1. We are told that he ascended into hell and he preached to the captives and he led captivity captive. Otherwise, he went into the abyss. Abaddon, the chief demon, who apparently was the guy, or Apollyon, was the guy in charge of hell for Satan. And he was like the warden of the prison for eternal souls and could open and close it so the prisoners couldn't get out. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus told us about a poor man that went to hell and that hell was divided in two parts. There was a gulf like a valley down the middle. Godless people went to Hades or to torment, and the people that believed by faith, like Adam, Eve, Noah, you think of all the righteous people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, people that lived by faith, David, they waited for the Messiah by faith. They were on the other side of this valley, and that was called paradise. So when Ephesians 4 says that Jesus ascended on high, leading captivity captive, he first descended, went into hell, presented himself with the holes in his hand, the spear in the side, the price that was paid, entered into death that they did, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us through Romans that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus raised himself from the dead. So we know that God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So he showed all of captivity that now you're a prisoner to eternity and ascended out of there, holding the keys, opened up the pit like this angel, and went off into heaven. Now, what I think is interesting here is that in chapter 1, Jesus stands holding the keys to death and hell, and an angel has a key to get down into hell, and Satan thinks he's such a smart aleck and has full control of you and doesn't realize he's not holding the only key. I think that's funny. There's an angel that's tougher than him that is set aside to the end of the age just to show up. Da-da-da-da, I've got a key too. And he's going to be nothing. He's nothing. And the only way that Satan has a hold of you and your body and the things that you do with your body and with your eyes and your mind is that you give him the key to your life to do it. That's the only way. If you are tired of being manipulated and living in the flesh, then you destroy the works of the devil by destroying the works of the flesh by dying to yourself. I don't mean commit suicide. I mean you surrendering your heart to God and saying, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live in the Spirit. And you conquer the devil right there. He doesn't have any power over you, in you, through you, of you, on you, unless you give it to him. Now, he can come and scare you. He can bully you. He can seduce you. He can lie to you. But God's allowed that to happen. But in Corinthians, we are told that there is no temptation, no testing that has overtaken you that has not been given to every man that has ever been born. And God is faithful and just not to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but he will, with the same temptation, give you a means of escape. So I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your problems are, but I know who I am, and I know what my problems are. I'm not going to let the devil use these problems against me to destroy me. I'm going to turn him to Jesus and say, forgive me, Father, and give me your strength to overcome these problems. You see, you're in charge of your life. Your school teachers don't tell you that. Government doesn't tell you that. They say you need government to look after you. No, you need faith in God. And you'll get faith in God by having a time in the Bible and prayer. And you'll get to know God personally. So this is kind of cool. He's got this chain. The bottomless pit is there. And we've seen it before. But now we realize he's going to open it up to throw the devil into it. I saw him with a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So the abyss, the pit, It's also called the immeasurable depth. It was a very deep gulf or chasm in the lowest parts of the earth, used as the common receptacle of the dead, and especially as the abode of demons. Now, 3 Wednesday nights when I was beside my mother before she died, her body died, and she went out of that body with the angels up to the throne room, I was so glad to know where she went. Because I know there are 2 options when a person leaves their body. There's 2 options. Which one are you choosing? Are you going to be a fool and think that the pleasures of your flesh are worth eternity in a bottomless pit where you're going to just be spinning out of control until judgment comes and then go into eternity with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Why do you think those people are weeping and wailing? You see, you think, well, when I die, it's all over. No. The soul has recorded everything. This is why they're, you know who gnashes their teeth? This is why they're gnashing their teeth. People, they're in psychotic condition, usually in a sane asylum, in a padded cell or a chained vest. They're grinding their teeth because the agony of what they're seeing in their mind is too painful. Weeping and sobbing and crying. You may not have the hands to lift them and say, oh, I feel so horrible, but you're going to be spinning in a bottomless pit in pitch blackness that you can't even see the people next to you. But part of your anguish is going to be hearing the anguish of the other sinners that died in their sin for eternity. Not just for 5 minutes or 5 days or 50 years or 5,000 years. Forever. Do you want to live with yourself forever? Then you got to die to yourself so you can live with Him forever, and He gives you a new mind. Makes everything brand new. Come on. Get rid of the cigarettes. Let your lungs breathe some real air. Start reading the Bible. I mean, you're missing it. The bottomless pit. So it has no bounds to it. It is recognized as the receptacle of the dead, especially as the abode of demons. Now, the dragon, serpent, Satan, devil, 4 names that you've known all your life about this creature. Notice it says, that old serpent. It calls him there in verse 2, that old serpent. Who is? It calls him old serpent like that's who he was, but in his disguise maybe, but this is who he is. That old serpent. The word that, as if it is understood by the reader who we're talking about. You know, that old serpent. Oh, immediately you know who the old serpent is. The guy that used to be a dragon that had legs and sat up and was beautiful and could talk to humans and could reason and was intelligent, that seduced Eve and led the human race astray, got them to forfeit their rights to the planet and their heritage, and his curse was from a dragon to a serpent. He was taken off of his feet, and God said, on your belly you shall go, and the dust of the earth is what you're going to lick up for the rest of your life. So that serpent, we all know who it is. It's that one. It's the one that's caused all of mankind's troubles. Now, if you were this old serpent, the devil, think of some areas that you would confuse the planet about so that you could be in charge and take the planet's inhabitants into hell with yourself. One of them would be, get rid of the Bible. Mock it, scoff it, point at it that it's a lie, it's made up, it's not true. Get liberal seminaries, liberal church denominations, getting away from the Bible. In the modern church, get people away from the Bible and just make everybody friendly towards the seeker instead of giving the gospel that God died for your sins on the cross and you need to repent and not to be afraid to tell people that. The devil knows how to do that. He knows how to water it down. You know, there's an old saying, the devil can't beat the church, he'll join the church. And for centuries, he's done that. Just go to Europe right now and realize how dead Europe is. Go to Britain and Ireland and Wales and Scotland and see how dead those countries are, filled with thousands and thousands of churches, buildings. But the Muslims have come in and they begin buying up those empty denominational buildings throughout all Great Britain. And do you know the number of 14 years old and under of Muslims? The number of them is so huge just in the country of the Netherlands and Holland. In the next 10 to 20 years, they will all of a sudden have all the votes to make Holland a Muslim country. The 11 million today will be 37 million in 20 years or more in Germany. The 6 million and 7 million in France will be 18 to 21 million in 10 to 20 years. and Europe will all of a sudden be in the United Nations voting as Quran people, not Bible people. You know, the word Islam means submission. And that's what that religion is about. And what happens to the people in chapter 20 that don't bow to the Antichrist and take the mark? They're beheaded. You see where you're headed? Or beheaded? You got to wake up, guys. Our country is still the last bastion of the gospel. Now, I don't know. I've worked really hard for 35 years to get young men under me to take over when I drop dead. But I don't know about under them. You have to wake up and realize you are probably the last generation. And you need to be about your Father's business. He's coming soon. He's coming really soon. And we want to honor him by honoring his word and lifting his word up. So that old serpent, that word old is interesting. I want to take a moment. You can see it on the screens there. It comes from the original language of the New Testament, meaning archaios. And archaios was used several ways in early first century writing. It was archaios meant that has been from the beginning. So this serpent is somebody from the beginning of mankind's history they knew. They used it to mean original, primal, old, ancient, something that would be in the background of oral tradition, passed on to the Slavic nations, the European nations, to the Indian tribes of North America, to the tribes of South and Central America. This would be a story that was known around the world. That old serpent, the guy that's caused all of mankind's heartaches, he's the one. Now think about the importance of this. Turn to chapter 12 of Revelation. Look at verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. So we know the dragon is the old serpent. It's the devil. It's Satan. So Michael and his angels fought. So the best you and I can think of Star Wars, okay? Luke, I'm your father. The bad guys and the good guys, all right? The bad guys and the good guys. Somehow one of my little three-year-old grandsons saw the first Star Wars, and he thinks everything is Star Wars now. And he's even got a Darth helmet on. But the helmet comes down to below his waist. And he was at IKEA the other day with his mother and father, and Sandy and I were waiting to meet him, and walking down the aisle was a midget Darth Vader. And the helmet, I mean, it went over his shoulders. You know, it only comes to here. Went over his shoulders, down his chest, below his belly button. It was a helmet with two little white tennis shoes walking through the parking lot. And it has a box on it. It goes, Luke. And he walked up to me and he took my hand and made me push the button. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that there he is being Darth Vader. But I think in that context, we can understand a comical and palatable visionary war in outer space. That's what's taking place. The forces of good were fighting the forces of evil. Michael the archangel was fighting against the dragon. So there was a time, and the book we read before this for 1 year that I've took you through was Job, and Job was the guy, the human guy, not Jesus, the human person, like every woman and man here, that had all hell unleashed upon him and comes out at the end and said, "Praise the Lord." Lost everything he ever had, and he praised the Lord. When Jesus came and died on the cross for us, we realized, well, he's Jesus. He can walk in water. He can cast demons out. He can do anything he wants to do. He can levitate up into the space if he wants to. Job says that everyone in this room can take whatever comes our way. And I thank God for that he showed us there was a righteous man named Job. And I thank God that Job was not a positive name and claim it guy. Oh, if I say it's going to happen. That he wept and he cried. He said, "I lost my children that I love so dearly. My wife has turned against me. All my billions of dollars are gone. My real estate, my camels, my donkeys. I've lost it all. My body's got sores on the head, on the bottom of my feet, my arms, my legs. I'm in such agony and pain. The devil beats me up every night. And yet I praise God because naked I came into this world and naked I shall go out. Praise ye be the name of the Lord." I thank God there's a human being that did it. I appreciate the fact that Paul the Apostle is Paul the Apostle. And he went through horrible stonings and imprisonments, bitten by a poisonous snake, thrown over the walls of a city in a basket, the first biblical basket case. He had the enemies of the cross after him all the time. This guy was another guy you can look at and say, but he was a theologian. Hey, if God puts these people in the Bible, we need to read about them. Now we see there is a war in heaven. And everything going on in this planet is deception. Everything. The stock market, the Euro community, the United Nations, the wars, the disease, the famines? Why is Africa the richest nation in the world, continent on the planet, but has the poorest people in the world? Deception. Deception. And the days must be shortened that even the very elect would be deceived, except those days be shortened, Jesus said, and all flesh be destroyed. You've got to pop out of the dream and get into reality, and you can only do that by getting into the scriptures and let a revival break into your heart, and you say, whoa! I'm getting away from these things. Whoa, look at that. I never saw that before. And you will see that God, through this dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, out of his holy kingdom, and Satan chose this planet. And he's here. So you got to wake up. And the only strength you have is this. It's not me telling you, as some pastors do, I'm not going to tell you that you're a sinner. You are a sinner. I'm not going to tell you that you're really a nice person and need to feel good about yourself. You aren't a nice person and you don't need to feel good about yourself. You need to die to yourself and love people. Quit loving yourself. You don't go around and pick up a corpse and love it and hug it and say, oh, you feel wonderful. They're dead. And you and I are dead in our trespasses and our sins. Do you know in the old days, if a person murdered someone in Paul's days, they would take the dead carcass of that murdered victim, and the judge would have the guards tie him and chain him to the back of the murderer. And the murderer would have to walk around town with his dead, decaying body on his back. How you doing? You think Quasimodo had a bad... I mean, just think of this. If you had to carry a dead body. This is the terminology of the book of Romans. I have died to myself. The dead in Christ. And he speaks about you dying to self. Your old man, your old nature, gone. You got to get it off. It's going to kill you. And it'll kill you with a bottomless pit where you'll be going nuts forever. So the clock is ticking. Time is winding down. And in chapter 12, verse 7, the war breaks out in heaven. And it says this. Then being with child, the woman cried out, another sign in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars, so one third of heaven. The angels came to earth, threw them down to the earth. They're down here. They're in the millions. They look like human beings. We are told in the New Testament it's no wonder because Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. No wonder that his ministers of unrighteousness can make themselves into ministers of righteousness. Have you ever dated someone, you single people? If you ever dated somebody and you're married, then this would relate to you. But you felt that person really of the devil. They probably were. Oh, she was so cute. He was so handsome. But boy, when I got to know him, his breath smelled like brimstone. No, you are just so bitter or angry. There are people walking around town that are not people. I know that sounds bizarre. But they are possessed by demons taking on a human form. Satan appears like a good angel and comes and leads people into weird religions. So here we see that he now comes with crowns, so he's going to take over a portion of the world government. He drew a third of the angels with his tail from heaven, threw them to the earth, so he used force to get them out of God's control and put them here. They're frightened because they know that they are doomed for eternity, but they believe their leader, Lucifer, who is trying to make them think that they're going to win, the force is on their side, and Yoda can't do anything to them, and they are going to be in control. And all humans, even if we were all to die, he's already got the plan to clone and to mutate and DNA and stem cell research. He's already got all this under control that he will make fake humans because demons need bodies to be around town. They cannot be in this dimension and enjoy Niagara Falls or the Amazon jungle if they don't have a body on. They need a body. And so they're either going to possess yours till it dies because your indulgences open up your heart to release you to addictions that are really demons inside of you, or they're going to make their own bodies, and that's why the alternative lifestyle is being shoved by governments around the world, because this wicked, filthy, foul dragon is on the planet and he's in charge. They say you can't beat City Hall. There's another key that an angel has, and Jesus has the keys, and this dragon is so stupid, he doesn't know he's lost the war. So his stupidity is showing to his minions, and now he's looking bad, so he's got to do more destruction to gain more control so they don't split from him like they did from God. You following me? So you need to just be aware that you're a puppet or a pawn if you're not under the control of the power of the Holy Ghost and you're not living by the Holy Scriptures and you're not a woman of prayer and a man of the Bible. You're in deep trouble. And it could get so deep that you end up in a bottomless pit. You don't want to go there. You want to just say, God, I admit to you, I am a sinner. And I have sinned against you with my own free will. I beg your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of your sins and for your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and possess me to be my Lord and Savior for eternity. And God will forgive you and he'll take you. And so the dragon stood before this woman who was ready to give birth to devour. She bore a male child who's going to rule the nations. And the woman fled into the wilderness. She had a place prepared for God. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole, not part of it, San Diego too, the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation, strength, the kingdom of God, the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And here's how you overcome the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Write it down, underline it, circle it. Print it in your palm of your hand if necessary, or put it on your Palm Pilot. This is how you overcome him. They overcame him, number one. Would you read it? By the blood of the Lamb. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they did not love their lives to death. You destroy the works of the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ, believing that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you of your sins. You destroy the works of the devil by the word of your testimony, that you can tell people you once were lost, but now you're found. You destroy the works of the devil that you don't love your life. You love God's life in you, and you die to self. That will destroy the devil. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Would you read the last statement here out loud with me, the last sentence? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has a short time. Underline that. He's aware he has great wrath. It goes back to this word, that old serpent, that word archaios. The clock is ticking. He has come into the physical realm, and there is a clock ticking, and everything dies in this realm. He is going in and out of hell. He's been kicked out of heaven. His passport has been revoked. You are the target. Your children are the target. Your parents are the target. Your great-grandchildren are the target. Future generations. That's why the education system has been destroyed in America. That's why drugs have destroyed America. That's why liberalism has destroyed America. Because Satan knows we were the greatest missionary sending agency in the world for the Bible. We were the richest, most powerful nation, most educated people that died to ourselves, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and the early American founders gave the freedom of America to all the people of the world, and that's why we are such a different colored people. Because we were people of love and found liberty from the Bible. And our men have died in major battles century after century so that you could keep your freedom. And that freedom to know God should not be legalized out of public society. It is a sin, and those people are going to pay with their eternal souls for doing this. So the clock is ticking. Time is winding down for the devil, but eternity is just beginning for you. Yeah, eternity is just beginning for you. We're excited about that. So he came, the old serpent, who's the devil, bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years is finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So there is going to be a 1,000-year period on earth where peace is going to come. I'd like to close with Peter chapter 3, verse 1. There is going to be a heaven on earth for 1,000 years. We know that. And then Satan will be let out because there will be babies that will be born. And Isaiah says that a baby will be up to 100 years old. Why? Because the earth is going to be protected from the sun. Everything's going to be run by the Lord himself and his people. There'll be human forms like this that will decay and die, but they'll live to be hundreds of years old like they were in the beginning of the Bible. And then Satan has to be let out because all the people that are born and you walking around in your new body, there'll be no crime because you just have to walk down the street and there nothing bad can happen. The people that have these bodies, though, that were born during the millennial reign, the 1,000 years, have had forced righteousness. Otherwise, it's been forced upon them. And since God is a wise and a loving God, he doesn't force himself upon anybody. He gives you the opportunity to choose. So all those people that will be born during this 1,000-year period, and some that remain into it, that didn't die in the nuclear wars and the pestilence and all that, they will have to let Satan out so that he can tempt them to prove their hearts. Now think of this. Millions of them are going to believe in Satan after they've lived 500, 800 years, 1,000 years in bliss, and they're going to be rebellious and follow the devil. It's in man's nature to thumb their nose at God. So he is a righteous God. He's going to let Satan do it, and then he wipes Satan out. Now look at this. Chapter 3, I would like to go down to verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you be followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed people. And do not be afraid of their threats, ladies and gentlemen, nor be troubled by anything. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You know, start your day off tomorrow morning with a devotion. Open up the Bible, do your stretches, get on the treadmill, run down to the beach, whatever you do, feed your dog, bark at your cat, whatever your thing is in the morning, but sit down and read your Bible for a little while. And just get a feeding from the Holy Spirit. Sanctify God in your hearts every day. Lord, I'm yours. God, I have no idea what today is got happening, but I know you are what's making today happen. I've got my calendar here. I've got these meetings. I've got these phone calls. I've got these places I have to be. You can change any one of them at any time. I'm your vessel, Lord. Start your day off by telling God he's in charge. Not, God, I've got all these. I want you to give me a raise in this meeting. I want you to do this. God's not your Santa Claus. Some of those things that are on your calendar, he didn't put there. And you need to learn by sanctifying him in his heart to chill out and let God lead you instead of you organizing and directing everything around you and everyone around you. Let God show you. And you will see after some time your schedule will be things that he wants done. And some of those things you're going to find out as I have, I don't want to go to that meeting. I don't want to talk to that person. Oh, my goodness. But God does. So sanctify him. That's what, put him in your heart. Set him in there. Don't be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of people's threats or troubles. Sanctify God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ, they can be ashamed of themselves. For it's better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Today, a young man and his sister, high school students, came home in the area, and there was a suicide murder in their house. Father apparently murdered the wife. The mom killed himself. The Northern Division, where I help out as a chaplain now and then, gave a call because the boy comes here, is in the youth group, and they're devastated. Life goes on. And while we're having a good time, there are a lot of people suffering around us. And I would rather be persecuted for being a righteous dude than being some drunk, some pot-smoking, dope-headed jerk, mauling and groping women or groping guys and have a reputation for being a jerk. You want to slam me for being a good guy that tries to help you? Great. It says right there, it's better that you suffer for that. You see, when you sanctify God in your heart, your priorities change and it gets into two dimensions. Love God with all heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love yourself. Love your neighbor, not yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you always say, oh, I love my neighbor. But how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself, so how do you love yourself? Then you're an egotist. You love yourself in the sense that you have died to yourself and you realize you made the right decision for self. You gave yourself to him. So he says here, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits that were in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that's only 8 souls, were saved. Guys, 8 souls. And when you take the math of today, and you extrapolated or intrapolated, or whatever you mathematicians would say, engineers, and you went backwards, you can mathematically figure out that at some point in time, there were 8 people alive to get the population of 2005. It goes back to the number 8. And who were those 8? The Bible tells us, Mr. and Mrs. Noah, the 3 little Noahites, and their cute little Noah girl friends. That's who the 8 are. Get the Bible out of the schools, and nobody will be smart enough to figure that out. So, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, was saved through water, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven. He's gone into heaven, and he's at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers, having been made subject to him. So an angel's coming. An angel's coming. And he is going to take away the devil's power. And he's going to open up that pit. And you are going to be reigning on earth, ladies and gentlemen. But beloved, as he said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with the Lord is just as one day. So God's angel, out of millions of angels, is stronger than the devil. So you are more stronger than you think you are. The devil thinks that you has got you believing because of your education system and your raising that you're nothing. Restraint is put upon Satan for 1,000 years. The devil is the word diabolos, and it means false accuser, slanderer. That's what that means. Satan, the word means adversary, one who opposes another in a purpose or an act. So you got the old serpent, the adversary. He's fighting you and he's accusing you. Fighting you and accusing. Accusing, fighting, accusing, accusing, and all the time accusing. I'm such a stupid person. I don't know why anybody likes me. I don't know how I could ever accomplish anything. Oh, what? I don't know. He's always accusing. You're such a loser. I'm such a loser. You're never going to be anything. You're never. Hey, take that. You better get it now because you'll never have another chance. I better take that now. And he accuses you. And he's always fighting you. But when you die to yourself and you stand up for God, he's accusing the Lord in you. And he's trying to fight God. And he's not smart enough to know that God had a second key. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, that you have given us gifts that make us stronger than we really think we are. We thank you, Lord, that you are our daddy, that you're our father in heaven. You're the guy in charge of everything. We're more than conquerors through Christ. You have given us the role to be adopted heirs to the throne of God. You are more wealthy than a zillion, billion, trillion, quadzillion Bill Gates. You have the wealth of all the universes, all of the solar systems, all of the dimensions of time and reality that we don't even know of. You have all the wisdom and see every square inch of a black hole. You know every man, woman, and child that has lived, is living, or will live. You know the day, an hour, and minute, and second of our death. You know, Lord, how much you love us more than we know. You have called us your sons. You have called us your daughters. You have invited us to your throne room. You have invited us to reign with you. You have invited us to sit on thrones and to judge the fallen angels. You've promised to give to us eternity and a life beyond understanding. It is you, our Heavenly Father. It is you sitting there right now looking at us. It is you that have said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart or the understanding of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, that are called according to his will and purpose. We don't want to be beaten down and trodden down in our face in the mud. We want to look up at your beautiful face, and we want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and we want to praise you and say, hallelujah, we love you, Father. We thank you for all the good that you have for us, for the future that is awaiting us, for the billions of angels that are here to serve us. and the abilities that we could unleash in our community just by reading your word and loving you and praying with you. God, pour out your Holy Ghost right now and revive us and wake us up to works of righteousness. In Jesus Christ's name, we gladly pray. Amen.